I'm Robin. I am a person in recovery. I'm a codependent at the moment, just for today. I don't have any other fellowships that I'm, you know, or any other recoveries that I'm in. But there's still time for me to develop some other addiction of some sort, because I am the daughter of an alcoholic. I come from a family of codependency and alcoholism and generational trauma. You know, I have worked on and off about my codependency. I've worked on and off. I thought I was just an adult child of an alcoholic, and I was going to ACA meetings a long time ago. And so I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio, the daughter of a nurse and a liquor distributor, coincidentally. And it was a home that was, you know, not so settled. And, you know, as kids, we don't know whether what's a good home or not, or, you know, whether other homes operate that way or not. Everything was more or less fine until, you know, I turned into a teenager. I always knew my dad drank, and I didn't really know what problems my parents have. I wasn't really sure. I went to Catholic school. And when I was in Catholic school in like the second or third grade, I was molested by a priest in public with full knowledge of other people. And I never told anybody, because I thought, well, everybody knew. So, you know, as a little kid, it must be okay. And I never came out about that until, I don't know, maybe 5 years ago, you know, in the Me Too movement. And I started hearing people's stories about what that was and how, you know, what it could be and what it could look like. And I was like, hey, that's me. And then I looked up on a database of Catholic priests, and the guy who did it to a bunch of people. Like, he's got a whole rap sheet of women and kids, other boys that he did this to. So that was one thing. And then, you know, as I became a teenager, I was abandoned, basically. My mom went back to work at, when I was in, I guess, eighth grade. And my sister and brother were 8 and 10 years older than me. So they were gone. They were off doing their thing. And I was left home with my father. And my dad would come home early, drunk. And I'd have to cook him dinner, and then I'd have to deal with him while my mom was at work for a couple hours. And he was extremely abusive verbally. And I did everything I could to stay out of the line of fire. You know, I tried to keep quiet. I tried to, you know, just disappear. I cooked, but I had to cook dinner. So that was, therein lie was the rub. And it was later pointed out to me by a therapist that my mother made me assume her role, her like just being there, and my father's anger was directed at me. And I've always had a penchant for the truth, because I saw so much bullshit around me as a kid that I finally just started speaking up. I'm like, no, that's not how this is. No, I don't see it like that. No, that's not how this is. And that would get me in trouble. And so my brother moved back home for a little bit. And he said to me, you just need to be quiet. Just like when he starts, just zip it. And that was his way of doing it. But he was the firstborn boy, and he never got the shit that my sister and I got. And so, I mean, it was good advice, you know, how to deal with an alcoholic. Don't participate. You know, if they're drunk, do not participate. So, you know, as I got older and I was still at home, I started doing that, but that would incite his rage also. And so I was alternately scapegoat, lost child in my family. and my way of dealing with it was just not to be there. And that's how I deal with, gosh, most things in my life, basically. Maybe they have like a lost child anonymous group, because that would totally be me. I would like sign into that. Maybe I should work the steps on that one. I then moved out, and you know, had some okay relationships, some not okay relationships. I had one in college where I lived with a guy for 5 years, and he's fantastic. He's still a friend of mine, but we were too young. I didn't know how to navigate that. And I never really looked at my codependency or thought about it. At 24, I got involved with somebody who was really bad for me. And I was involved with somebody before that who beat me. And I left and went to college. And I just took that as just like a bad relationship. And then I was involved with somebody when I was 24. And when I ended it, he beat and raped me. And I am the product of 2 date rapes, molested by a priest. And so, you know, I started going to codependency meetings. And I was also involved after that with who I thought was a good choice and turned out to be, now I know, in my 60s, I figured this out, was a covert narcissist. Okay, so that brought me here. Fast forward, I was married for 20 years and I realized that I was married to a narcissist also. And so what happened was, a year ago, I had a breakup. I was with somebody 3.5 years. It was long distance. He lived in Amsterdam. I saw him every 2 months. And I realized that he was a covert narcissist. And there was a whole lot of heavy psychological game playing and abuse. And that brought me back to codependency. And because I was looking into narcissism and how codependents tend to get involved with narcissists because we can't enforce our boundaries. And so I hit rock bottom because I'd been in therapy since my 20s and I'm totally open in my therapy, as open as I can be. I don't hide anything about, you know, how I grew up or anything. And nobody ever said to me, hey, you know what? Your dad was a narcissist. But now that I know what that looks like, yeah, my dad and most of my relationships, save the guy in college, were narcissists. And I didn't at times enforce my boundaries. And now I am. So it brought me back to these meetings. And whether I go to an all recovery meeting or I go to a codependency meeting, I find such support and knowledge in these groups because recovery is recovery, as far as I'm concerned, for me at least. I had to look at that my father was a narcissist and that, like I say, most of my relationships with men, romantic ones, were narcissistic. I don't really have too much of a problem with that with, you know, platonic relationships, which is interesting. And so I've started to apply how I treat my platonic friends in my dating life. I'm single right now, and which I think is a really good thing to be single at the moment, and assessing what love really looks like and what a healthy relationship, platonic or otherwise, looks like. Not people pleasing, and more that I can say is subjugating myself and giving myself up. Abandoning myself is what I do. Not sticking to the truth of who I am and telling other people, hey, I didn't feel good when you did that. And, you know, letting them sort it out, leaving abusive relationships. I have a work relationship, and I mean relationship by, I work there and I've worked there for, I'm a college teacher. I'm a designer and I teach design at school. And the whole situation has been not good for me to teach anymore. And I'm not enforcing my boundaries, but now I am. I got a master's degree and I'm doing something else. So, but you know, that comes back to self-esteem. And I can say that being in these groups and having the support of everybody here has really helped me figure out who I am and honor who I am. And more than anything, not abandon myself. I mean, that's the big thing, not sell myself out. Like when I do something and like keep quiet or not express my needs in anywhere, anytime, that is me leaving myself. And someone asked in one of the meetings, it was a topic meeting, and it was like, you know, being your authentic self. And I think I'm fairly authentic, but only in certain situations. If I think you're going to leave me, then I'm not. Like if I don't know you, I can totally set a boundary. But if I know you, I can't set a boundary to save my fucking life. I came back to the meetings and found secular meetings because, as you can imagine, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in a higher power. I don't assign it to anything. And whatever anybody else does, that's cool. I can't do it. I believe that the power comes within and from my community. So thank you for giving me the chance to talk. And I'm so thankful that everybody's here. And I have learned so much in the last year coming to meetings. And I will pass and open the floor.